All right, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Massive Breakdown Podcast, episode 37. We're going to be doing a really, really quick one this week. Unfortunately, I have to go out of town for business the entire time, so I'm not going to be able to do the normal Wednesday release with like an hour and 15 minute long podcast. So what we're going to do is, like we said last week, we're going to try to go through all the raid weapons for this week's special raid. It is Vault of Glass this time around. So we're going to break them down for you. We're going to get right into the meat and potatoes of it, and then we're going to bust on out of here. So as always, I'm Mercules, your host, joined by Kit Kutcha. Kit, how are you doing tonight?
Hey man, doing awesome. Glad we're able to squeeze this in. I've been looking forward to talking about the Vault of Glass weapons for a while. So yeah, I'm pretty psyched for that. Obviously super stoked about D2. Like, I didn't even know how to talk about it without just going on for an hour, so I'm just gonna pass it back to you.
All right, excellent. Obviously, yeah, the D2 hype train is in full swing right now. It has left the station. Pretty much everybody I know is fully on board. But we're going to talk about that a little bit more as summer progresses. Probably going into May, we're going to start discussing that stuff really, really hard. In the meantime, yeah, like you said, Vault of Glass, it's been exciting. It was the original raid. They did put it off for a week because I think they wanted to showcase Crota just a little bit. Crota's a shorter raid. It's easier, more accessible. We talked about the Crota weapons last week. There weren't any true standouts besides perhaps Necrochasm, which I think has really found itself in a great spot. But for the most part, the Vault of Glass weapons are a little bit better. They're a little bit more sought after. Maybe people have some rose-tinted glasses on when they think about them. But for the most part, the Vault of Glass weapons don't suffer from one of the things Crota's Inn does, which is where they lose a perk for the raid-centric perk. The raid-centric perk is on top of the other perks. They actually have 4 instead of 3. Which is really, really cool. It helps them out a lot. Some of these weapons are great. Some of them were maybe a little bit better when there weren't a ton of weapons in the game. But we're going to go over all of them. So let's just start at the very, very beginning. Atheon's Epilogue is an auto rifle. It's one of the 102 archetypes. It means it's got a 0.87 second optimal time to kill. I believe it's 13 headshots and 1 body. And then a 1.07 second body shot time to kill with 17 body shots. So we know that this is like Doctrine of Passing. It's like Arminius. It's like Soulstealer's Claw. But one thing it doesn't have that those all do is it does not have counterbalance, which means you're stuck with the recoil direction of, I believe, like 56. It is not a good one. It does have horizontal sway. And this gun harkens back to a time when weapons in the 102 archetype for auto rifles weren't able to roll with double stability perks. The Hexcaster Arc is another example of that, and unfortunately it makes them very difficult to control, and in my book, not something that I really want to be using for competitive PvP at all. But what do you think, Kit?
Yeah, that's absolutely right. That's really something that's very important to, I think, point out to people. Like, one of the nice things about Atheon's Epilogue is that it does come with a fixed roll. You always know what you're going to get with it. But the downside, of course, is that fixed roll does exclude counterbalance, or even just any second stability perk could be a game changer for it. In terms of what the actual perks are that it has, you're guaranteed every time to have persistence, and glass half full. Persistence obviously is fantastic for this kind of a gun because it does tighten that accuracy cone down so the bullets just go in a straight line once you've been holding the trigger for a very brief period of time. The gun also does have really excellent aim assist, so it's very disappointing that the recoil is so rough, so difficult to control. Because even with that really good, the aim assist is 82 to 87 depending on which sight you choose. Obviously true sight is going to be the one that boosts it. And with that, between that and persistence, like, this should be a really good gun, but the recoil, man. Like, I used this, you know, when I was, I think it was the original Thorn bounty. You had to get void kills in the Crucible. Boy, that takes me back to year one, but I was using this a ton then, and it's tough. It's tough to make it work.
Yeah. The problem is it comes with perfect balance, so you do get one stability perk, but perfect balance, as we all know, is about half the additional stability of braced frame or something like hand laid stock, and then no counterbalance. Now, another reason I don't really particularly like this weapon for PvP is because the sight options. True sight does give you a boost to aim assist, a little bit more stability, but the problem with that is it's a really low zoom sight. I believe it's 1.5 times zoom.
It is.
Which means you're not going to get any of the additional damage fall off, aim assist fall off that you get from using something like ranged lens. The problem with that is ranged lens to me is one of the worst of the high zoom scopes that you can get. I do not like it. I much prefer Focus Lens. And then Red Dot ORS is the other one. And honestly, I don't like any of those sights, really. So it's not a gun that I particularly find myself using. Another thing I feel I need to clarify, persistence. Some people think it affects stability. It does not. Persistence tightens the accuracy cone itself of the gun. All right, so your gun is still going to have the exact same amount of vertical and horizontal recoil as it would before, but the bullets are going to spread out less from the center of where the barrel is. So imagine stability is what affects the movement of the barrel itself, and accuracy is like a cone coming out from the end of that barrel. So the more stability you have, the less the barrel bounces up and down or bounces side to side. But the more accuracy, the more likely the bullet is to just come straight out the end of the barrel as opposed to deflecting in another direction. So persistence does not affect stability, and we needed to clarify that because, you know, some people like it. And part of the reason why I believe Doctrine of Passing was so good is because it came with persistence, the ability to get counterbalance, and then braced frame also, which was made it just an absolute monster. Yeah. It was accurate and had great stability. But I want to clarify that for those of you out there who are thinking maybe it kind of is a second stability perk. It's really not.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely a point of confusion. That's, I know, I think we've actually had some interest recently in a revisiting of accuracy, range, aim assist, and stability. That was, I think, the first topic we ever talked about here on the Massive Breakdown podcast. And it may be time to revisit that for folks. I think we've gotten a little bit better at podcasting since those early days. So it might be worth a second look this summer as we look for some new topics to address. So,
yeah, absolutely. I've seen some confusion about it on the subreddit, and I have been thinking about maybe doing a little bit of a repost, a little bit of an updated one. But we do have a pretty good idea of how those things work in Destiny. So if you do have any questions, feel free to always, tweet at us or something like that, too. Even if we don't do a podcast topic on, we're more than happy to explain it.
Oh, absolutely. Yep. Yeah, it's always catch us on Twitter with any questions. We're always answering questions about roles, about how things work. Happy to do it. It's what we love doing. So,
absolutely.
Well, let's roll on to Vision of Confluence. This is one that's near and dear to my heart, so I'm going to just jump into it. Vision of Confluence is the scout rifle from the Vault of Glass. It drops from Atheon, or at least it did year one, so I'm, depending on whether they've changed things, I guess we'll find out this week, but that was always where you got it in the past. It is a mid-rate of fire scout rifle, so the time to kill runs between 1 and 1.33 seconds. Definitely not a competitive time to kill in terms of PvP, but it is extremely forgiving. And this is, in my opinion, one of the best PvE weapons that came out of the Vault of Glass in that first year. Obviously, the legendary scout rifle with Solar Burn, just super easy to use, melting everything. So that's a big reason I think that I personally am enamored of it. And I'm really looking forward to getting a new one here and going for that adept drop, because that's going to be just a ton of fun to get back into it. The other nice thing about this gun is that it comes with just all kinds of stability. And I don't know if you want to say some words about it, Merc, or if you just want me to just run rampant with it here. I'm super, super stoked for this gun to come back.
Yeah, I'll talk about it for a little bit. So it comes with full auto as a guaranteed perk and Zen Moment as a guaranteed perk. And then you also get the choice between single point sling, perfect balance, and field scout. I generally would run with perfect balance, and the reason why is because perfect balance combined with Zen Moment combined with the already high base stability means you've just got basically no recoil at all. It's just shooting in a straight line every single time. On top of that, with full auto, you're always guaranteed max rate of fire. It comes with a Sure Shot IS, which is an aim assist boosting sight. It's low zoom, one of the best sights you can have on a scout rifle. So the moral of the story is that this gun, although the time to kill is pretty slow and that kind of takes it out of the competitive range, I feel like it is one of the best feeling guns in the game to use. I really can't stress that enough, that if you want the perfect example of Destiny's, I'm trying to explain it, Destiny's feel, the way the gunplay works, the way the guns handle, the way the guns shoot, this is like one of the premier guns that you can really get a taste of Destiny's gameplay. I think it's one of the best weapons they've put into the game in terms of that. That being said, high level PvP, it's not going to be competitive. Even with that great roll, it's too damn slow. You're going to hit all four of your shots. A Mida is going to hit all four of theirs. You're going to die to the Mida every time. And that's the reason why it drops it down out of being one of the overall best guns in the game. But PvE, I don't know if you can beat it in terms of a scout rifle. I think it might be the best.
Yeah, just sheer ease of use. The gun is just a laser beam, and it's a full auto laser beam. So you can just hold down the trigger, run around, jump up and down, do whatever you want to do. It's just so easy to use. And then that solar burn on the Adept version means that this gun just melts. A lot of wizards have solar shields, especially in Prison of Elders. A lot of other places you'll run into them as well. A lot of Cabal have solar shields. You'll be able to just melt those guys down real fast. It makes it so
shanks
easy.
Sometimes.
Oh, Shanks, absolutely. Yep, lots of solar shielded Shanks. Every race, except for maybe the Vex, really brings a lot of solar shields to the fight. So it's a gun that you're going to get a lot of use out of.
All right, well, I guess in that case, we can move on to Fatebringer. Fatebringer might actually be one of the most famous guns in Destiny. There was a period of time where it was the only gun everybody wanted for PvE. It was the total best option. PvP, it's never been competitive. Nothing like that has changed. It doesn't come with a range perk, so, you know, it's not a tremendously useful tool in PvP. It does have explosive rounds, which kind of negates that damage fall off a little bit because the explosion doesn't suffer from damage fall off. But let's be real, I just don't think Fatebringer is something you want to be using in PvP. But it is mid-impact, like an Eye's Luna, like a Palindrome. Comes with Firefly and Outlaw guaranteed. And then in the middle, we've got Field Scout, Single Point Sling, Explosive Rounds. The problem with Explosive Rounds is it doesn't play nice with Outlaw and Firefly. If the explosive damage kills a target, it will not count as a headshot, which means Outlaw won't proc and Firefly won't proc. That being said, still, most of the time, you're going to want to use explosive rounds just because, you know, it's the most fun perk in that slot. You can still make things blow up even if you don't hit headshots. It does extra damage on body shots. It really is pretty helpful. So even though it doesn't play nice, it is still pretty much the best option. You can maybe go with single point sling if you want. I know I personally wouldn't. I don't know. What do you think? Do you have a different opinion on that?
No, actually, I am totally on board with explosive rounds right here. Now, you're absolutely right. It does not play nice with Firefly and Outlaw. A lot of people aren't going to like that, and they're going to say, why are you guys recommending this? So, here's what you want to think about. You know, what are you using a hand cannon for in PvE? You're probably using your primary weapon to wipe ass, right? If you need to take out a major, you're going to swap to a sniper or shotgun, you know, what have you. So mostly you're just wiping out groups of red bar enemies. And most of those red bar enemies are going to die to a single headshot from a mid-impact hand cannon because they do a lot of damage with every shot. And so what's going to happen there, if you shoot, say, a group of acolytes or thralls, thralls are a great example. You can totally just wipe like an entire row of thralls out with a single shot. You shoot one in the head, the explosive rounds hit the rest of them, the firefly procs and hits the rest of them. And then you can just, you know, you can reload if you need to. I mean, it's a beautiful thing. And at worst, I mean, look at it this way, right? Firefly is great because it does give you a bigger explosion, a wider radius, and more, I believe it does more damage as well. You kind of have to double check that kind of stuff in PvE because it varies so much from enemy to enemy. But explosive rounds gives you an explosion, a radius of damage on every single shot. Right, so you're going to get so much more utility out of explosive rounds than you are out of trying to use Firefly on a regular basis. And if you've got hand cannon, reload, or gauntlets, and at this point in the game, who doesn't? I mean, just go to a vendor, right? They're right there. Don't let missing out on Firefly and Outlaw in PvE make you not use explosive rounds. That you'd be handicapping yourself by choosing anything else. It's so much better, so much more utility out of it. And I feel pretty strongly that explosive rounds is probably one of the best PvE perks on any primary weapon because you get so much use out of it.
Yeah, and it does do extra damage, which means you can one-shot red bar enemies a lot more easily. And just straight up, in terms of fun factor, it's way more enjoyable to use explosive rounds than it is to use single point sling. So it's not even a question to me. I would absolutely go for it. and just hope I can get Firefly and Outlaw to proc as many times as possible. But if not, Explosive Rounds is the game changer for me. Fatebringer is a pretty, it's a weapon that has been gone over a million and ten times. We don't really need to talk to you that much about it. Even if you're a new player, you've probably heard of it at least a dozen times, because people talk about it all the time. It's one of the best guns out there in the game. It's true. And the Adept version with Arc is probably going to be, you know, a PvE staple, I guess you'd say. It's going to be there in every raid group. Moving on to the other Arc weapon, it's actually Praetus Timepiece. It's kind of funny because we talked about a very similar weapon last week with Crotazan. We talked about the Oversoul Edict, and Oversoul Edict and Praetus Timepiece are actually in the exact same archetype, which means, just like last week, it got a little tiny bit of a nerf. It doesn't shoot as fast as it used to. It doesn't cause as much flinch as it used to. And it's so close to being a perfect weapon. It comes with red dot OAS, boost stability and aim assist. It comes with Headseeker, which I love, especially on low impact pulses. It comes with Perfect Balance, which I love. And then the last slot, it has one of the shittiest perks in the game, in Secret Round. And it literally makes the gun worse, because if you miss a shot, it fires an extra shot. What that means is, if you're shooting a 3-shot burst and you hit your first two and the third one goes over their head, you then have to fire a fourth round whether you want to or not, which slows down the time that you can take to get the gun under control and fire another burst. It literally slows down the time to kill. If you miss, it makes you even worse. The only time it will ever help you is if you miss the first shot and then hit the next three. And I did a ton of testing with Secret Round in PvP, and I think it happened once, but a large majority of the time, it just made me waste a fourth shot. And I hated it. I hate the perk. What I say is, just don't even upgrade that last node. I know that if you have one of those OCD things where you have to have every gun upgraded fully, this gun is not for you.
Yeah.
I don't recommend it. It's going to drive you crazy. Don't upgrade the last node. Do not unlock Secret Round. Use Red Dot OAS. Use Headseeker. Use Perfect Balance. That's a great roll right there. Just pretend like you got some garbage perk in the last round, that they're the last slot, that doesn't even help you.
This is one of those perks that I really just want to, you know, I kind of just want to know, what is the thinking behind this thing being in the game? What is the value proposition that Bungie thinks they're offering us? Because clearly we're missing it, right? Like, the only time I can think of that this perk is going to serve you moderately well is if you're running around looking at the ground and all of a sudden you see somebody's feet and you start shooting and that first shot goes into the ground and then the recoil pulls it up into their knees or something. And then you get a third shot on them. And maybe that is a good thing. I don't know. I can't imagine a scenario in which that would be a regular occurrence. It just does not make sense to me. That the perk is just bad. It's just bad.
Yeah, it's a wasted perk. It's not even a wasted perk. A wasted perk would be a perk that doesn't benefit you at all. It's a perk that hurts you. It's not even a perk.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, you know, you'll just have to leave it unupgraded. I mean, you can upgrade it if you want to test it for yourself, but I can basically promise you it's just going to be a waste of time. Moving on, we've got Vex Mythoclast next on the list, but why don't we save that for the end, since it is an exotic. We'll talk about that when we've got time.
Yeah.
Let's move on to the special weapons. Praetorian Foil. I believe that up until Vault of Glass drops, this is one of the rarest weapons in the game. I don't think I have... And I'm not kidding at all, I don't think I have ever seen a Praetorian foil in Destiny at all. I've heard tales of people getting them. But you know what's funny is, when I was looking over the stats, I was looking at this gun. Stat-wise, it is an exact clone of Darkblade Spite. Exact. Same every single stat across the board. Exactly the same. The only difference is the model. What that means is, it is a 4-bolt kill on most enemies, but it's got great range, it's got terrible stability, terrible charge time, all the things that you expect from one of those 4-bolt kill fusions. I just thought it was hilarious that it was the exact same. Literally the exact same.
That is kind of funny. I actually missed that going through. I guess maybe one of the things I don't think we've ever really talked about are all the strike-specific weapons and whether they're, you know, how they work. So that may be something for us to look at doing down the line here, but... That's really interesting that it's stat for stat the same. But yeah, I see what you're talking about. I kind of looked at it, when I was looking at it, as a slightly worse Sally V, you know, which is a pretty high compliment for a fusion rifle, really. It means it's not unusable by any means as far as, you know, fusions go.
Yeah, well, the truth is, it's funny that every fusion is a slightly worse Sally V. I mean, really, or at least the vast majority of them. Sally V is by far the best fusion rifle, but yeah, they both kill in four. They both kill in 4 bolts. But the difference is that Sally V has got a relatively faster charge rate. Praetorian Foal absolutely does not. It's got pretty poor recoil direction too. Pretty low aim assist. Really, it's going to be a struggle to use if you are not a good player. It does come with glass half full and reactive reload, both damage boosting perks, which is pretty cool. Glass half full isn't really something you see on fusions that much, and I don't possibly see how it could be too much of a help, but it can't hurt to do a little bit more damage in some instances. Now the problem is that the middle perks, perfect balance, accelerated coils, send it. Accelerated coils is a trick, don't use it. It's going to increase the number of bolts that it takes to kill from 4 to 5. The charge rate is not going to be that much different. Do not use that.
It's a
Then it comes with
trap.
send it or perfect balance. Exactly. Admiral Ackbar knows what's up. But it comes with send it, which increases range, or perfect balance, which increases stability. If you're one of those players who doesn't need help at all, you can just control the recoil on any fusion rifle ever at any point in time. You've got the masterful thumbs. Then send it's going to be the thing that benefits you. It's going to increase your range, which tightens up the bolt spread of the fusions a little bit, makes them a little bit faster. Perfect balance is for everyone else. I personally would probably roll with perfect balance. Kid, I assume you probably would too. I don't think either of us would consider ourselves fusion masters, but.
Yeah, I would absolutely, for the typical Guardian, recommend perfect balance. If fusion rifles are not something that you are using 100% of the time, that's going to be the most benefit. You're not going to be probably landing those cross map 4 bolt kills. So the thing about send it with the Praetorian Foil is that it's not going to affect your bolt speed noticeably within 40 meters. You're not going to get a benefit. The effective range on bolt speed on fusion rifles is something that has been extensively tested by a lot of different people over the last year, myself included. And since it's just it, really any range perk is not going to do enough within a 40-meter combat range to make a significant difference. Now, if you're fighting on the edge of that, if you're trying to use these at longer range, or again, like you said, Merc, if you are totally cool handling that recoil, if you've got the swipe there to keep the bolts on target down, and keep them end up without needing the extra help, yeah, that extra distance in your range perk is going to tighten the accuracy cone. It is not bad by any means. It is good, but it is only something you can benefit from, like you said, if you've got the skills in the first place. And so I think you have to start with perfect balance, because otherwise it's going to be a more punishing experience, and it's going to be hard to learn. That's my opinion. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah, I mean the way it goes is, if you can't control the recoil on your own, Sinnet's not going to help you at all. Plain and simple. If you can't control the recoil manually, Sinnet is going to do nothing for you. If you can
Right.
control the recoil manually, totally, and you're completely confident, then Sinnet's probably the better one. Sinnet actually, very similarly to with hand cannons, range perks on fusion rifles decrease the accuracy cone, make it smaller, and they decrease the size of the bloom that it blooms out to. So very similarly with hand cannons, if you're really attacking at longer ranges, you do want the most range you can get. The changes in speed, like Kit said, are not going to be anything to write home about. But I think we've hammered that home enough. People have heard us talk about fusion rifles. I mean, hell, we did an
Yeah,
entire episode on fusion rifles. They know our
it's
thoughts
true.
on them, but.
Yep.
Sights wise, it's not great. Steady hand, true sight, red dot ORes. True sight adds aim assist, red dot ORes adds a lot of stability. I would go between one of those two. Steady hand adds a little bit of stability too. One thing to remember, we said it last week, sights on fusion rifles do not increase the zoom at all. They are all the exact same zoom, so don't worry about that. I personally would go with whatever sight on this one feels best for you. I'm
Fair.
not gonna
Yeah.
tell you one, because I think they're all decent enough.
Yep, yeah, I would not disagree with that at all. I think we've certainly hit that one pretty thoroughly, and I'm actually really excited about the next one here. So I'm just gonna jump into it. The next gun on our list here is Found Verdict, which is the Vault of Glass shotgun. This shotgun dropped from a number of different fights in the original Vault of Glass, so I think you can look forward to seeing it quite a bit. It's one that I just had a ton of fun with here when I took this gun everywhere. I didn't even really understand at the time how good it was, because this was before I really got into digging into the perks and the stats and figuring out what made a gun good. But so Found Verdict is the same rate of fire class as Deidre's Retort or 44 Curtain Call. So it's a kind of a middling rate of fire, a little bit higher than Party Crasher or like the Felwinter's Lie class. But it has barrel perks that allow the impact to climb up to the Party Crasher range, 61 to 64, including aggressive ballistics. And you can actually, because this gun comes with Send It plus aggressive ballistics give you 64 impact and 32 range. And by the way, not only does the gun have a faster base rate of fire, it also has full auto and final round by default. Those are the fixed perks on the gun. So, and you know, now again, just always bears repeating, full auto having been buffed by Bungie on shotguns to not hurt the accuracy cone in the way that it used to. All told, this gun is just amazing. I expect to see a lot of Found Verdicts everywhere in the game. I expect to see them raiding, running strikes in PvP. I'm kind of expecting to hear some salt about it, to be honest, because this is a really great gun.
But anyways, moving on to Praetus Revenge, it's the lowest impact archetype sniper that can revive snipe. It's got a really fast rate of fire, so double body shots are easy peasy lemon squeezy. In fact, that's what a lot of people in year one were using it for, was those double body shots. And you're going to need it because it has Garbo aim assist, basically. So
it's horrible.
It's one of the lowest aim assist of any usable sniper in the Crucible, but it has a ton of stability. It's basically made to be a double body shot machine. It used to have a much bigger magazine. It no longer does, but you know, it still comes with Ambush, which can boost the stability, Longview SLR-10, which I actually hate, but some people really like that scope. It's a little bit higher zoom. I think it's 5.3 as opposed to 4.9.
But it does have 79 to 100 stability. It can actually max stability. I remember year one, I played this gun like a scout rifle, because you could max out your stability, and then at the time it had 5 to 6 rounds in the mag. You literally would just run around and just double body shot people. That's all you do.
And then it's got Firefly, Feeding Frenzy. Feeding Frenzy is pretty good for PvP. Firefly is fun. I wouldn't say it's a great perk. I mean, the chances you're going to get a kill off it are pretty narrow. It's got Flared Magwell, Quick Draw, or Field Scout. Quick Draw is the tier one perk for PvP. Obviously, Field Scout does help to boost up your inventory. You might pick up another extra shot per brick. But Quick Draw is probably going to be what you want for PvP.
Absolutely.
And then Field Scout for PvE, because you don't really need Quick Draw for that. Flared Magwell, it doesn't offer the benefit that either of the other two do.
Yeah, 100% agreed. That gun was easy. Hezen Vengeance is up next, the rocket launcher from Vault of Glass. Again, this is another weapon that dropped from a lot of different bosses, so I expect to see a lot of people having it. And it's kind of a unique weapon. It has a unique perk on it. So this is a solar damage rocket launcher if you've got the Adept version. It is, I think, and now I'm not looking at the stats, I believe it's max blast radius and high velocity. Did I get that right?
Yeah, it's like the Ash Factory type class, where it's like really, really slow rate of fire and really high blast radius, and also above average velocity is what I'd call it. So
yeah, so this is an interesting gun. So I want to talk. I guess I'll mention the perks that it has that are not unique first. Perks you're familiar with include tripod, and then it's got selectable options including heavy payload, javelin, and flared magwell. I would probably go with javelin, you could go with flared magwell for the reload speed is not bad, but this is probably a PvE only weapon because it does not have tracking proximity detonation, so it's going to be pretty tough to hit people in PvP. with this rocket launcher. But in PvE, you can get some pretty decent use out of it against groups of enemies or against bosses that'll hold still for you. Because the unique perk that it has, and I guess we'll find out if they change this week. They haven't obviously dropped it yet, but I think I looked at the new one. And let's go right to the armory and just read the description of this, because it's kind of interesting. One of those things that they didn't... This is a gun from before Bungie had really figured things out in terms of what they wanted to do with certain perks.
Yeah, and speaking, you were mentioning earlier that it might be PvE only. I actually think this is a better rocket launcher for PvP. Ever since they nerfed Truth, I've been looking for something to replace it. I've been using cluster bombs on my rocket launchers simply because I had one with tripod. And as long as you don't mind using the rocket launcher much more like you would in Halo, where you got to aim at the walls or the ground or something, it's actually very, very easy to kill people. The blast radius is absolutely monstrous on guns in this archetype. So I think because it's got tripod, you're going to be getting three. All you need is rocket launcher boots. And because it's got Merv Mini, which is basically cluster bombs, and because it's got Javelin, and because it's got heavy payload, I think you'll be able to crush it in terms of blast radius. The velocity is going to be good. You'll have three rockets. You'll be able to kill most people. You just have to kind of change your playstyle a little bit. And because it doesn't have tracking, I actually look for tracking in my PvE rocket launchers. And I look for tripod and grenades and horseshoes for PvP, but cluster bomb, Merv Mini, whatever it is a close second for me. So I actually would recommend this gun for PvP, as long as you're a savvy player and you understand the differences between this and something like a Truth.
There you go, Guardians. For the first time ever, we disagree on something. So I wanted to talk, that's the perk that you just mentioned there, Merv Mini. So this perk reads, rockets fired from this weapon split into several smaller shells upon detonating. Which is a little bit different from, I believe, the way that cluster bombs is worded. Now I'm going to actually have to go pick up another rocket launcher here to actually read that. But so Merv Mini, I did some research on this because I was a little confused. You know, is this the same as cluster bombs? Is this something different that they're giving us? And the best that I can tell, it is actually something a little bit different. Now, this is not something that we've been able to test yet, so I would love to get my hands on a new one. I don't have the year one Hezen Vengeance, so I couldn't actually go and play with this myself to see. But so cluster bombs, the perk reads, rockets create cluster bombs when they detonate. So again, clearly very different wording. And by all reports from people on Reddit and YouTube and all over the place that I was going looking for information on this, Merv Mini functions similarly to cluster bombs, but it sounds like it may have fewer explosives with a tighter spread and more damage per explosive. So it's going to be maybe a little bit more focused on a single area. So the radius may not be as good. Just something to look out for, and maybe don't assume when you're taking the Hezen Vengeance into an encounter that it's going to work exactly the same way as cluster bombs. That's something that's going to bear further testing in the weeks ahead as we get a hold of these guns and have time to play with them in private matches. But it is a little bit different. You know, will it be better? Will it be worse? I think it's too early to make any kind of a conclusion on that point.
Yep. I'm looking forward to testing. That's probably going to be one of the first things that I try out for myself, because I was interested in that as well. I saw it in the database, and, you know, Bungie did have a history of doing one-off perks back in year one. They've kind of strayed away from that more so recently. But they used to just throw random perks in there, and sometimes they functioned differently, and sometimes they became precursors to like what we have now. Like, for instance, I believe on Word of Crota, there's that perk Phantom Gift, which is exactly like Triple Tap. But at the point in time, it was a one-off perk that we'd never seen before. So moving on from that, we're down to Corrective Measure. Corrective Measure was, for a time, when it had Field Scout and Field Scout buffed magazine size, probably the best machine gun in the game. Oh, yeah. Certainly the best in PvE, and very, very powerful in PvP too. Unfortunately, Field Scout no longer does that, but this gun does join the ranks of very, very few legendary machine guns that have Field Scout. So it's still important to know that you can basically max out your ammo pickup per brick in PvP with Field Scout. It has the same effect as using a heavy ammo armor perk and a machine gun boots perk at the same time. It's very similar to something like the Unending Deluge in terms of archetype and stats, and that means that no matter what you do with barrel perks, impact increasing wise, it's not going to change the time to kill, but soft ballistics will actually increase the time to kill for body shots. So probably stay away. Oh wait, this one doesn't even have soft ballistics, does it? I don't even know why I'm saying that like it's a possible choice. Yeah, you get, you know, armor piercing, perfect balance, Field Scout. What I've seen people do is use Field Scout in the beginning, and then as soon as they pick up the ammo, switch over to perfect balance. You probably will want that stability boost. If you're running armor perks, then and you don't really want to switch off those, then you don't need Field Scout. Like I said, a heavy ammo and machine gun ammo will do the exact same thing Field Scout does.
The other thing to note, this gun does have surplus, which in addition to increasing heavy ammo drops in PvE, does actually increase the size of your reserve ammo. So I don't know how that impacts things in PP. I don't know if that's something that you've ever tested, Merc, but in PvE, you can carry a crap ton of ammo on this gun.
I've looked at it, and some people have said that surplus adds like +5 or +10 to inventory. I have not seen surplus change the number of rounds picked up yet in my testing.
Okay.
But because it's not a perk that you have to choose, it may or it may not. I really don't know. I haven't seen it ever change that. But yeah, it can't hurt you is all I'm saying for PvP. It can't hurt you. So who cares? It might, but if it does, I think it's a very small amount that it changes. And I want to go back and say correction. You actually, soft ballistics is an option on corrective measure. So don't pick that one, because soft ballistics will take one more shot to the body to kill someone. I just want to say that. I knew I was talking about it for a reason, and then I blanked, and for some reason I thought it was like the Wrath of the Machine guns, where they're all it gets is linear, accurized field choke, and they're basically all the same thing. But this one does come with soft ballistics. It's another trick. Don't do it. Don't fall for it. Don't use soft ballistics.
That's two traps right there that hopefully you're going to avoid. So, yeah, definitely keep that in mind. Make a note of that. Avoid penalizing yourself. You know, soft ballistics sounds like it's going to be good, right? It gives you that stability bonus. But yeah, it's a total trap. It is.
And that's a pretty straightforward gun right there. I mean, the machine guns have never really been super, super, you know, in-depth, intricate weapons. I think machine guns have basically been left alone for almost the entire duration of Destiny, because they've pretty much just been, you know, right where they need to be the entire time. Corrective measure is a good one, but there are a lot of other machine guns that may be better than it in PvP. The one thing that stands out for is the Field Scout, but I mean, you can also get a Silver Dread with Field Scout.
Yep.
And in my opinion, I think the Silver Dread is a better weapon all around. So it doesn't have the fastest critical time to kill. It doesn't have the fastest body shot time to kill. It's an okay weapon, but you know, it's so middle of the road that I have trouble recommending it, basically. Like, normally we can say one way or the other, this gun's total shit, don't use it, or this gun's fantastic, use it. But it's not really either one of those. It's just, it exists, and it's decent enough. It's got persistence. That's a pretty good perk for machine guns in PvP. It's better in PvE. So, you know, maybe try it out. If you like the way it feels, go for it. But I'm not going to be bringing it into PvP anytime soon.
Yeah, I think it's one of those guns that was really good in PvE year one, and really probably in PvP too, because it did not have a lot of competition at the time. I mean, at this point, in any given game mode, we have so many different choices. We all have so many guns. You know, I got to be honest, as much as I use this gun a lot year one, it's not one that I'm really feeling the nostalgia for. I feel like there are a lot of better choices out there. Maybe not like hugely better, but better enough that this gun probably will not see a lot of play for me either.
I guess that's it for the legendaries. We can move on to the exotic. We can move on to Vex Mythic Glass. This is a gun I actually never was able to get myself, so I can't talk about it other than what I know has happened to it in patches, and I can talk about what other people have said about it. So this is one of the only guns in my spreadsheet that I had to rely on someone else to do the testing for me. I was not able to get this testing done on my own, which is very unfortunate. It makes me sad. But I plan on getting one this time around for sure and confirming all those numbers. Basically, it's a fusion rifle that fires one bolt per shot instead of seven, and then it's full auto. So you just hold down the trigger. So it functions like an auto rifle, basically, except the bolts have travel time. They are not hit scan. They are like normal fusion rifle bolts, and that is kind of a little bit of a game changer, and not in a good way. This gun, back in year one, when it first came out, was literally broken, more so than any other gun has ever been in Destiny. This gun was broken. It killed so fast and was so easy to use that it was the bane of people in the Crucible, and very quickly after it being discovered, it got nerfed.
Yeah.
And it's never quite recovered from that nerf, as well as the unintentional fusion rifle nerfs that also seem to hit it. So I'll let you go on from here, Kit, because I don't have any experience with the perks on this weapon.
So Vex Mythoclad, like you mentioned, is a primary fusion rifle. It's essentially a fusion auto rifle or an auto fusion rifle. I don't know what you really want to call it there. The optimal time to kill on this gun, strictly speaking, is 0.64 seconds if you've got aggressive ballistics. That's going to be really difficult to ever achieve outside of what's got to be pretty close to sidearm range, which is probably not a great place to be competing for a primary weapon most of the time. Although it does, I mean, that time to kill is pretty fast. It's comparable to a lot of sidearms, if not better than some. So that said, aggressive ballistics really hits the range hard, and range is a big deal with a gun like this because you've got no hit scan. So it's like if you've ever played with the Queen's Choice in PvP, that's what you want to compare it to. It's very nearly a monster, but Bungie nerfed the damage by 34% in year one. It was one of the first patches to the game. And that just killed it because it's such a fine line to walk because it's either just incredibly powerful or sort of vaguely disappointing. A lot of shots that you think you're going to hit just aren't going to hit. And anything outside of short range is really not going to be great unless your aims are running in straight lines right at you or holding still, in which case, you know, it doesn't really matter what gun you have. They deserve to get shot in the face at that point. So I guess I'll just run through the perks real quick. Barrel perks, you've got aggressive ballistics, linear compensator, and smart drift control. Smart drift control does give you, you know, a much easier time controlling the recoil on the gun. Would linear compensator be enough damage? Does that increase the time to kill? Maybe I missed that.
Like I said, man, I don't know. I was never able to do any testing on that, so I'm not 100% certain.
So linear compensator may be enough impact to actually increase the time to kill to point. 0.64 seconds optimal.
I think so. If it does 39 damage per crit, yep. With linear compensator, it probably does 40. So.
Yep. Nope. You're right. That would do it. So that would be enough against the vast majority of Guardians. Max armor, of course, is always an outlier in that kind of thing, and would probably just barely survive with a sliver of health here. That said, you've also got Zen Moment and Crowd Control. Those are great perks in any given game mode. Zen Moment, of course, increasing your stability every time you do damage, which is going to be really nice here. So the more stability you have, the better to keep the gun under control. You need all the help you can get to keep those bolts going where you want them. And then Crowd Control is going to give you a nice little damage bonus, which is going to make you a lot more consistent against high armor targets. It's also going to be really good in PvE. Because you're going to do a lot more damage against enemies. This gun is going to be a lot of fun in PvE. I cannot wait to get a hold of a Year 3 version and take it out. Selectables, you've got Field Scout, Send It, and Lightweight. I mean, Send It's the only one of those that does anything for you. So pretty much a given for me. Lightweight, I know some people, you know, have various reasons or niche circumstances in which they might want that extra agility, but you know, I always think of it, you know, 99% of the time, which one I'm going to want to have on if I forget to go and change the perks on all of my weapons for this one scenario. Probably just want to leave it on Send It most of the time.
Mm-hmm.
And so the big problem with this gun is, that, like you mentioned, the travel time on fusion bolts just keeps it in check. Basically, a fusion rifle bolt is going to take approximately 5 frames or 0.17 seconds to travel 40 meters, which is what I would consider to be approximately mid-range for encounter. And that you got to tack that on top of your time to kill. So if your optimal time to kill, even with, say, smart drift control, is 0.8 seconds, now it's 0.97, which is, you know, mid-rate of fire scout rifle type time to kill. So it really, really hurts it a lot. And the further away you get, if you even manage to land a bolt, it still takes a long time to get there. And at that point, it's practically just luck. So it's a close range weapon. Keep it in close range, you can do some damage. But it's going to take effort, it's going to take work. And that's I think where I want to leave it.
Yeah, and I'm looking forward to grabbing one for myself and being able to test it out because it's been a gun that I've longed for, basically. I really want one. I want to be able to do less testing. I hate having to rely on other people to do my testing for me for my spreadsheet. It is the only archetype of weapon I have never been able to test for myself. That being said, it's nowhere near what it was. It really isn't. If you're expecting this, you know, solar chainsaw to go through people in the Crucible, like you've heard tales of it being, it's nowhere close to that. Don't get your hopes up. Honestly, it's not even a competitive weapon, regardless of how good the stats say it could be. That travel time and the lack of accuracy, that's what really hit it badly. The travel time was not a big deal until there was an accuracy nerf to fusion rifles, and it hit Vex Mythic class hard. You will experience what you think are ghost bullets like no other weapon in the game. You thought ghost bullets were bad on hand cannons, wait till you get the Vex Mythic class out. So I was kind of hoping they would buff it back, at least make it competitive like what they did with Necrochasm, but it doesn't look like that's going to happen anytime soon. So, you know, maybe take it out, try it around for fun, throw it in some mayhem or something like that. But it's just not a super competitive weapon for Crucible, unfortunately.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that pretty much wraps up the Vault of Glass for us. And I think that's about all we had to talk about. I had a couple other notes to mention real quick before we sign off. Did you have anything else, Merc?
Nope, go ahead.
So just real quick, I had originally thought we were going to be talking about some Patreon things in this episode, but again, due to time constraints, we're just going to have to push that back 1 week here. So we'll talk about that next week. I really appreciate you guys and look forward to giving you some shout outs then. Otherwise, thank you guys so much for listening. Appreciate you all out there tuning in every week to hear us talk about how we're huge nerds for Destiny. And that's all I've got to say, guys. Thanks.
Yep, and thank you guys for tuning in. I know we wanted to get a lot more out this week, but we decided to focus just on the weapons, get as in-depth as we can. I really just don't have time to do the normal length of a podcast that I would when I have a couple of days to edit it. I'm literally leaving tomorrow morning, so I'll get this out as soon as I possibly can. I hope you enjoyed it, and we'll be back next week with another full-length show. So thank you for tuning in. Bye.
Peace.